Where are you going? Bernard, are there good news?
It's time again for Donald
Trump.
Theater.
No one knows what's up or down.
Black
or white.
Legal
or
impeachable.
Everything is make believe in Donald
Trump.
Theater.
So let's
pull
the
curtain
back.
We are controlling transmission. If we wish to make it louder, we will bring up the volume. We can change the focus to a soft blur.
You're moving into a land of both shadow and substance, of things and ideas. You've just crossed over into.
The things that this show has called him, this approach is, I guess it's kind of like we're living in the Twilight Zone.
Russia had nothing to do with this episode.
Truth isn't truth.
I never worked for Russia.
The entire Democratic Party's messaging in the midterms was focused on issues like health care and voter suppression, and it produced the largest margin of victory in midterms history. So naturally, Trump has responded to that message with his only move, racism.
2020 is also clearly on President Trump's mind. Saturday, he lashed out at Senator Warren on Twitter, alluding to her past claims of Native American status, for which she has apologized. The president appeared to make a joking reference to the tragic Trail of Tears relocation and genocide of Native Americans.
Today, Elizabeth Warren, sometimes referred to by me as Pocahontas, joined the race for president. Will she run as our first Native American presidential candidate, or has she decided that after 32 years, this is not playing so well anymore? See you on the campaign trail, Liz.
This tweet was obviously racist, and yet there are actually some conservatives arguing that it wasn't a reference to the Trail of Tears because Trump doesn't know what that is. Fox News political analyst Brit Hume responded to claims that Trump's tweet was racist by saying yes, because Trump is noted for his knowledge of 19th century American history vis-a-vis the Native population. They're actually defending Trump by saying he's too dumb to be racist. First of all, if you ever find yourself asking, is Trump dumb or is he racist, the answer is most likely C, all of the above. Second, Trump has said publicly that he's a big fan of Andrew Jackson, who carried out the forced removal and ethnic cleansing of Native Americans. In fact, early in his presidency, Trump even claimed Jackson foresaw the Civil War decades before it happened, although Trump didn't really seem to have a strong understanding of what the Civil War actually was.
They said my campaign is most like my campaign and win was most like Andrew Jackson. I mean, had Andrew Jackson been a little bit later, you wouldn't have had the Civil War. He was really angry that he saw what was happening with regard to the Civil War. He said, there's no reason for this. People don't realize, you know, the Civil War, you think about it, why? People don't ask that question, but why was there the Civil War? Why could that one not have been worked out?
What do you mean, why was there the Civil War? Everyone knows why. It's not like the first line of Abraham Lincoln's Emancipation Proclamation was, I don't know why I'm doing this.
brand new reporting suggests that special counsel Robert Mueller may have evidence of possible collusion between the Trump campaign and Russia, and that the investigation into a conspiracy or quid pro quo between Donald Trump's campaign and the Russians is alive and kicking. Testimony from one of Mueller's top deputies delivered behind closed doors and in front of a judge in Paul Manafort's case is akin to a unicorn sighting. It's a rare transcript of a Mueller prosecutor describing, in his own words, one of the investigative theories around the question of conspiracy. That theory, according to the Times analysis, quote, starting while Russia was taking steps to bolster Mr. Trump's candidacy, people in his orbit were discussing deals to end a dispute over Russia's incursion into Ukraine and possibly give Moscow relief from economic sanctions imposed by the United States and its allies. The Times goes on to describe how the theory suggested by prosecutor Andrew Weissman was described as, quote, almost an aside in a conversation about how Manafort had lied about his conversations with an operative linked to Russian intelligence. When pressed by the judge, Weissman reveals this, quote, this goes to the larger view of what we think is going on and what we think is the motive here, Mr. Weissman said. This goes, I think, very much to the heart of what the special counsel's office is investigating. Democratic Congressman Adam Schiff also making clear in an appearance on Meet the Press yesterday that he, too, is focused on Trump-Russia ties.
What we're interested in is, does the president have business dealings with Russia such that it compromises the United States? And the perfect example is something we know about already, and that is, as a presidential candidate, while he was telling the country he had no business dealings with Russia, he was pursuing the most lucrative deal, I think, of his life and seeking the Kremlin's help to make it happen. That's a different form of collusion, but it is equally compromising to the country because it means the president of the United States is looking out for his bank account and not for the United States of America.
Another tumultuous week for President Trump. On Tuesday, he delivered the State of the Union address, and this morning, he brought his teleprompter talents to the National Prayer Breakfast.
Since the founding of our nation, many of our greatest strides, from gaining our independence to abolition of civil rights.
There he goes, bragging about his accomplishments again now. So before his morning of prayer, the president woke up on the wrong side of the tanning bed. He lashed out at the House Intelligence Committee, which launched a new investigation into Trump's finances and ties to Russian interests. This morning at 7:30 a.m., he was in an all-caps mood, tweeting, presidential harassment. It should never be allowed to happen again. If ever there were a time for her, that's what she said. I mean, that was it, right? He tweeted a few times about this. He wrote, the Dems and their committees are going nuts. The Republicans never did this to President Obama. There would be no time left to run government. Right. The guy who spends 8 hours a day watching TV now has no time to run the government. But he goes on, I hear other committee heads will do the same thing, even stealing people who work at the White House, a continuation of witch hunt. I agree with that. Enough with the witch hunt. This man is our president. Can we please just let him commit his crimes in peace and leave him alone? Of course, what has Trump really fired up is that the Democrats want to see his tax returns, which for some reason he doesn't want them to see. And the big league question is, what is that reason? Why every other president or presidential candidate has released his or her taxes, why won't Donald Trump? But I want to know, what is it he doesn't want us to see? Maybe he's still claiming Donald Jr. is a dependent? Could make a case for that. DJ TJ, by the way, this is so desperately trying to be like his father, mixing it up online. He tweeted this yesterday. It's a photograph of a group of Democratic congresswomen at the State of the Union with the caption, not one American flag pin among them. And he wrote, speaks for itself, and no one is at all surprised, which is an interesting thing to write, considering the fact that this is a photo of the Trump family at the State of the Union, and none of them are wearing a flag pin either. So I don't know why that didn't... Hey, it's hard to understand why a guy as cool and smart as Donald Trump Jr. would have so little self-awareness. Mm-hmm.
Russian lullaby. Just a little plaintive tune when baby starts to cry. Rock-a-bye, my baby, somewhere there may be a land that's free for you. Russian lullaby.
This was described to me today as a unicorn sighting, a transcript of the elusive Mueller prosecutor, one of his top deputies in the special counsel investigation, describing one of the investigative theories. If you could translate that for our viewers.
This is a rare insight into the mind of the special counsel. So we've now got a glimpse of the bigger picture and an admission, a concession that what they're working on is something involving akin to a quid pro quo. You do this for me, we do this for you. Now we're left to fill in the blanks. What is it we're doing for each other? This smells an awful lot like we help you with policy regarding Ukraine and or Crimea. You help us get this election done. That's what this is looking like to me, and to hear it straight from the mouth of a lead prosecutor on the special counsel's team is something we all need to stand up and pay attention to. Special counsel inquiry was always all about counterintelligence. It was always about the degree to which the Russians influenced the campaign. So to hear this from Weissman, it's almost something I glossed over because we know that this has always been the core of the investigation. So, but I'm telling you, linking this now to Manafort has added significance. We've talked about the theory that he's that infection vector that brought the Russian infection to the campaign, among others. And I think for me, the meaning of this is confirmation that Manafort is one of those vectors that brought the Russians into play.
So I just want to stay with this, Frank. This hearing was about what Manafort did to lose his cooperation agreement. He lied. So he lied about these conversations that we're talking about right here. And I just want to put up a list about all the other people that lied about conversations about Russian sanctions. Because this, if this thread is central to the question, these are all the other people who form spokes of the wheel. Michael Flynn lied about conversations with Ambassador Kislyak about sanctions. Paul Manafort, we've been talking about, lied about conversations with Kalimnik about sanctions. Jared Kushner was not truthful about conversations about a UN vote. Donald Trump Jr. lied about conversations with Veselnitskaya in that Trump Tower meeting. We said it was about adoption. It, too, was about sanctions. So this isn't just about an American presidential campaign talking to Russians about easing sanctions. This is about one, two, three, four individuals lying about the conversations they had with Russians about easing sanctions.
So we've always focused on the why of the lie. Why keep lying? Why multiple people lying? Essentially about the same thing, Russia. And, you know, what we've got to do is move beyond just self-profit, right? This is all about bucks in my pocket. I need to lie to cover up the fact that I was trying to personally profit from my relationships with Russia and my position on a campaign. That's good to a certain extent. But if you're going to lie and put yourself in federal prison and jeopardize your family, your career, your reputation, what's bigger than just personal profit? It's the notion, perhaps, Nicole, that what you're covering up is actual assistance from a foreign adversary to assist the campaign and get Trump elected. To me, that's a plausible explanation for people jeopardizing their freedoms repeatedly, lest they be labeled traitors at the hands of a foreign adversary.
So, Glenn, this was floated to me toward the end of the year. Watch and wait for them to say, he was a businessman, of course he was doing... Watch for the defense to become the thing they've denied, because the truth is worse. And again, it's they're not even denying, because they've now pleaded guilty to these contacts with Russians. They now have this web of all... This is a campaign whose defense to collusion is, we couldn't collude with our press office. That's what Brad Pascal and Jared Kushner say when asked if they colluded. Oh, you silly, silly reporters. We couldn't even collude with headquarters. They have now managed to coordinate the same lie up and down the campaign chain of command. How'd they do that if they couldn't collude with their press office?
They could collude. They were colluding. And all of this is so nefarious. It's not reckless. It's not happenstance. It's not careless. You know, I agree with everything Frank said. And what I found really remarkable in what Andrew Weissman was saying to the court when they were trying to decide whether Paul Manafort's plea agreement should basically be torn up because he lied. As a cooperating witness, he kept lying to the special counsel. Manafort gets charged, right? Federally indicted. What does he do after that? He starts tampering with witnesses, and he was charged for tampering with witnesses. After that, we have now learned through this litigation, albeit in highly redacted form, that he continued to conspire with Kilimnik. What is it that they so desperately want to cover up? I think Weissman gave us a little bit of a preview. He said, we're talking about Paul Manafort lying about his continued conversations with Kilimnik. And what that does, Your Honor, it goes right to the heart of what the special counsel is investigating. And he basically said out loud what we have all been seeing, as Frank says, in all of this evidence. The concentric circles are tightening and tightening, and I think it's going to get to Russian conspiracy with the Trump campaign once it all comes to light.
night, Trump took national security into his own hands by personally going to the border and yelling at it, giving a rally in El Paso.
Out in the West Texas town of El Paso, I saw a speech by a man Putin adores. He talked about walls, fake news, and then more walls, and how you can't own cows anymore.
You're not allowed to own cows anymore.
After an intro by the Zodiac Killer, fear Trump did monger in his monologue.
It's the radical left. Coming for your money, and they're coming for your freedom.
Caravan socialists and socialist caravans, then rambled on and on about dogs.
You do love your dogs, don't you? I wouldn't mind having one, honestly, but I don't have any time.
Although his pants are clearly on fire, it turns out he said one thing that was true.
I'm guilty! 10,000 known or suspected gang members. Every single car out there, even the really expensive ones. God bless the United States.
Oh, is it time for my speech? Quick, get me a glass of sand.
I will build a great, great wall on our southern border, and I will have Mexico pay for that wall. Who's going to pay for the wall?
I think I'm a great negotiator. I make great deals.
Any Republican that supports this garbage compromise, $1.3 billion, that's not even a wall, a barrier.
Barriers, but not walls. What is going on here?
President Trump waved the white flag on his border wall, tweeting his apparent approval of the deal that's been worked out in the conference committee between both parties in both houses. And ladies and gentlemen, the author of The Art of the Deal has done it again. President Trump's nearly four-year quest for a border wall seems to be at an end. His opening bid was for a massive concrete wall stretching from sea to shining sea, and Mexico would pay for it. Piece of cake.
The question is, how are you going to build a 1,900-mile wall?
Very easy. I'm a builder. That's easy. I build buildings at a 94. Can I tell you what's more complicated? What's more complicated is building a building that's 95 stories tall. Okay. I'll tell you what it's going to be made of. It's going to be made of hardened concrete, and it's going to be made out of rebar and steel. We're going to win at the border, and we're going to build this beautiful, beautiful, powerful big wall, and Mexico's going to pay for that wall. Mexico's going to pay.
Big, beautiful, rebar, concrete, Mexico's going to pay. After Mexico told Trump what he could do with his wall, he came back to the table last February with a new plan. With the Republican Party in complete control of the federal government, Trump said he would hold thousands of DACA-eligible folks hostage in exchange for $25 billion in wall ransom money, basically. And guess what? The Democrats agreed. Okay, here, take it. Oh, no. But the master negotiator didn't fall for it. That was not good enough for Mr. Art of the Deal. He says nope to the $25 billion. And manages to negotiate himself into the amazing position of getting offered $1.6 billion for some fencing back in December. But he won't take that because he's tough. So the master negotiator says $5.7 billion, I'm shutting down the government, and he follows through. Trump shuts down the government for 35 days, the longest in U.S. history. His approval ratings plummet. He almost has to deal with a full-on rebellion from within his party amidst the misery it causes for hundreds of thousands of people. And after all this, the man whose name is written on the cover of The Art of the Deal, President Deals, as I like to call him, ends up with less than $1.4 billion for 55 miles of fencing.
Preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.